before you spend the next several minutes attempting to investigate and analyze which side of the spectrum one falls on or the other, I'll go ahead and squash any types of judgments or analytics within you and say neither. We kind of fall in the middle. We don't affiliate with either side, but we prayerfully and intentionally consider the administrations and the agendas come each election. Yet they don't always align. That when we fill out our ballot boxes together, when we bubble in some of those answers, some of them are similar and some of them are also different. Yet we still come together. In fact, not only do we vote differently, we worship differently. We affiliate with different denominations. We have different experiences from our backgrounds. We have different theological beliefs and understandings about faith and life and theology at large. In fact, so much so that early on in our relationship, a friend of ours asked us, now, how does this work? And I said, what a small-minded understanding of love. I didn't fall in love with my husband because of who he votes for. I didn't fall in love with my husband because we sit inside the same echo chamber that says the same exact political agenda. I didn't fall in love with him because of his denominational background. No, no, no. I fell in love with him because of this scripture. Because there's a sacred type of love that many of us experience. And it's exactly what Paul is writing in this letter. That love is patient. I fell in love with my husband because he's patient with me. Oh my gosh, is he patient with me? He's kind to me, even when I'm not kind to myself. He doesn't resent me for the things I do or say wrong or differently. We are rooted in this sacred kind of love. But our world, our culture tells us to only love people like-minded. To only hang out with people who are just like you. To sit inside your echo chambers and only affiliate yourself with what makes sense to you. Oh, no, no, that's not sacred love. This past election, 2024, back in November, my husband and I sat down. We read through the ballot. We read through the agendas of each administration. We bubbled in each of the lines, line by line together. And then we said prayer. We said prayer over our votes, over our nation. Most importantly, we said prayer over our marriage and our family. And then we submitted those ballots. Then you want to know what we did next? We went home and cooked dinner. We ate dinner as a family. We enjoyed breaking bread with one another. Now, 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 you're probably like, oh, I came to church. We're talking politics. I can't get away from politics this week. And I must say, I was very hesitant. One, I don't want to ever disclose a political agenda from the pulpit. That's not what I'm called to do in a pastoral position. I was uncomfortable opening this sermon the way that it was. But it's necessary because the division that is happening in our country right now breaks my heart. The way people are responding with hate, with unfriend buttons, lacing up boxing gloves to fight the other side till death. No, 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 no. Friends, that is not the country I know and love. That is not how we as people of faith are called to respond. This past week was really tough to watch headlines. But most importantly, most devastatingly, actually, should I say, what was harder to watch was people interacting. Friends, family members, church members, online and in the world. My goodness. There is this energy in our world right now that is hateful, vengeful. And church, we are called to rise above that. This past week, Pastor Justin and I actually had an immense amount of pressure coming at us from both sides of the aisle that we must respond. We must take a stance one way or the other. We must respond to the political administration and powers. We must respond to these executive orders, to the point that some of those pressures were threats. Loss of membership, loss of financial contribution. And what makes me sad about that is we have lost our ability to disagree with one another. We've lost our ability to disagree with one another and come to the table of Christ. We've lost sight of the body of Christ. That Christ is the head of the church. We are the body, each of us with different abilities and gifts and opportunities and possibilities, different callings, very different. Friends, diversity is a gift. Diversity is not a threat. Diversity becomes a threat when we put those boxing gloves on. When we put the boxing gloves on and take our listening ears off. We are called to love one another. We are called to be in community with one another. We are called to break bread with one another. This church, you sit next to people who vote differently than you. You sit among people who you think very differently than. You come into this sanctuary with jobs and lifestyles that are so diverse. And it's a gift. It's a beautiful gift to the grand tapestry of this life that we get to be a part of. If we choose to view it as such, if we choose to lean into love, not love because you agree with them, not love because you have like-minded thoughts or opinions or beliefs about systems, no, a sacred type of love, a love that's patient. Patient to the point that you disagree with someone and you can listen. That you can be kind. That you don't boast of your own self, your own pride. But that you come humbly to the conversation with one another. That's what the church is supposed to be. That's what the church is called to do. That's what we're reading in this first letter to the church in Corinth. We've gone 3 weeks now. Just in two short chapters of what Paul was trying to emphasize to that first church in Corinth, that there was division happening, that there was disagreements, probably disagreements on the Roman Empire and power and authority and gifts. And Paul wraps it all up. He says, these are the gifts that each of you offer. Each of you are members of this body of Christ. Each of you have a divine gift that you are offering. Each of you is a beloved child of God, part of this community that is diverse and beautiful. And I love how we come to this 13th chapter. When Paul explains our fit within the church and how we offer our gifts to one another, and then he says something so profound. He says, if you have these gifts, if you have gift of knowledge, if you have the wisdom, if you have prophecy, tongues, all of that means nothing if you don't have love. If you are not rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, oh, you're such a noisy gong. You are a clanging cymbal. You are noise just adding to the noise of the world. We are called to stand against the noise of the world, to rise up. You don't think Jesus was frustrated with the political powers? You don't think Jesus was so over the Roman Empire? And yet Jesus said, we will not rise above the Roman Empire as the world sees political forces. We will look actually like we are far beneath the political powers in place. But Jesus says, eternally, when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we rise above it. That's sure. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Wink, wink. and rise above. Have your beliefs, your opinions, vote, because it's your right, it's your gift. Do these things, participate in society, but don't orbit around society. Be operational in how you contribute to society, into the political agendas. So my response is that the church has already made their response. The capital C Church of Christ has already made a response. That sure, there are many churches today on this Sunday morning that are standing for one side or the other, that are slamming against the other side. And those echo chambers feel good to be inside. But they don't call us to a greater tapestry. They don't call us to lean into this sacred love that we're talking about. If we're talking about the church making a response, we've already made many responses. We've got two right here. Actually, if I'm being completely transparent, you want to know what gave me peace this week? I'm going to sound like a nerd for saying this one. Wasn't the news, wasn't Facebook, wasn't Instagram, wasn't social media, wasn't even going to the grocery store. What gave me peace this week was reading scripture. Reading the words of Jesus, reading the words of the Apostle Paul to those first churches, and reading the Book of Confessions. Part of the Peace USA has two parts to our Constitution. Part one is the Book of Confessions. Statements and creeds and confessions that we have made throughout millennia, all the way to Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, to the brief statement of faith. This book is profound. This book is the church constantly reforming itself. The church is constantly making a stand against culture while also living in culture and saying, if we are people of Christ, if we are people of love, then we rise up. We rise above it. Specifically, the Declaration of Barnum, written in 1933 in Germany. You can understand the context of which that statement is being said, but I love the way the declaration ends. It says, it invites all, this statement, invites all who are able to accept its declaration to be mindful of these theological principles in their decisions of church politics. It entreats all whom it concerns to return to the unity of faith, hope, and love, which is rooted in this scripture that we just read this morning. Friends, it's a divided world, but we are called to return. We are called to return to unity, not like-mindedness, unity amidst division. We are called to lean into our faith. We are called to hold on to hope. We are called to love. Love in radical, inclusive ways that the world will never understand, but that this Bible, this scripture, Jesus taught us how to serve one another, how to be with one another, how to break bread with one another, how to love one another. As we reflect on the Apostle Paul's words here in this passage, it's so profound that Paul gives this vision. This vision that we only see partly. We only have a glimpse of understanding of the grand scheme of life, of the grand scheme of the universe. That it feels like we're looking in a dimly lit mirror. But that when we come to fullness, to completion, when the kingdom of God is near, has come, we will see face to face. It's just like you and I. The only way that we as individuals see ourselves is in a mirror. And how many of you look in that mirror and just go, man, I am, Beautiful. I'm sure many of you, like myself, go, wrinkle, gray hair. Oh, gosh, I wish this was different. I don't love that so much. But the people that love us see us face to face. The people that love us aren't looking in a dimly lit mirror at us. The people that love us see us for who we are. They don't love us because of all of our faults and all of that. Well, they do love us, despite those. They love all of us. We are our harshest critics. Paul says we will know it fully. And until we do, until kingdom come that we pray every single Sunday in that Lord's Prayer, what are we called to do? Are we called to unfriend people who disagree with us? Are we called to yell at people at the grocery store? Are we called to put up certain fingers as we're driving down the road? No. We're called to rise above. We're called to have a heavenly mindset that all of this is fleeting. All of this will pass away. The politics is fleeting. And as we know in our history, we will just keep swinging back and forth, back and forth. And if the church responds to each and every back and forth, the church is on sinking sand. But if we rest on Christ, if we rest on the rock of truth, then the rest of the world will be turbulent. And we will stand. We will rise up. We will speak truth with love and with power. We will feed people, no matter what administration is in place. We will continue to house people who don't have a home. We will continue to offer space for people battling addiction. We will continue to love people no matter their background, no matter their ethnicity, no matter their sexual orientation, their gender, whatever it may be. The church will stand. Because the church already made their response. The church says, Christ is the head. Amen.